am special guest
Matt Farley.
This is the Power Motion Picnic Hour.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of and another season of the Power Motion Picnic Hour. As always, I'm your host, Dave, and as always, alongside me and also somehow hundreds of miles apart handling the other 50% of the hosting duties is...
Trevor.
Trevor, what's happening? How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, Dave?
I'm great. I'm so thrilled to be back here on pod, talking to you, talking to our guests, talking running, going on tangents.
Talking running, talking small, obscure things in New England, just really living our lives.
Yeah. Every day is a winding road when you're running or podcasting or just going on unrelated tangents. Pretty great.
Yep. But yeah, no, great conversation with our special guest, Matt Farley. Thank you again, Matt, for joining. That was incredible.
That was an awesome conversation. I really enjoyed that. And we'll get to that pretty soon, I guess. It felt to me like that was like going on a run with somebody pacing you. And so to have him sitting here with us, bringing some of his, I think, podcasting experience and mm-hmm. just experience on a real professional on tangents, I think.
Professional, yep. A lot of good ideas, yep. A lot of good energy. I think invented Even Odd Day or Even Odd.
That's right.
This is a thing, a concept, just even live.
This might go down as a historic episode with the invention of a new, what is it, a holiday, an event, a lifestyle?
Tradition, a lifestyle? Yeah, I don't know. It's a cultural, it's just woven into the cultural fabric now. We don't even know what to call it.
Exactly. It's so fresh that so far only three of us know about it.
Yeah.
So let's stop teasing that maybe. Should we go right to our talk with Matt?
Let's do it. Then we can catch up on some other stuff on the other side.
All right. I'll see you there.
This is the Power Motion Picnic Hour.
Monsters, Marriage, and Murder in Manch Vegas. Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Manch Vegas. That takes me back. I never lived in New Hampshire, but we used to drive up to Manch Vegas all the time.
Where are you from?
Well, I was born in New York City, which is where I live right now, but I mostly grew up in Marblehead, Massachusetts.
Yeah, well, I'm in Danvers, so right a couple towns over.
I saw that doing some of my pre-show research.
Nice.
Yeah, so you're a North Shore guy.
Oh, yeah. North Shore, did you get a lot of junior beef sandwiches when you lived here?
Oh, sure. Yeah, definitely. A lot of three ways. When I was younger, I would get it just kind of plain with sauce.
Mm-hmm.
And Trevor, where do you live now?
I live in Massachusetts now, so I'm in Sudbury.
Cool.
Which is a little west. Yeah, west and south of you, I guess.
What do we call that? Metro West?
Metro West, yeah.
I think so.
One thing we like to talk about a lot in this show is just different parts of Massachusetts and New England in general.
Right up my alley.
Yeah, you seem like the right kind of expert. I actually was just listening to that Bo New Hampshire song just before realizing I was running late to log on.
Yeah, I don't remember. How'd I do? Did I get all my facts right?
I think so. I think you said it was a nice place to live.
Good local government officials.
Yep.
Got its own zip code. Yeah.
Bo New Hampshire. Hop on Route 3A and go to Bo.
I think I talked back to that one a little bit and you were talking it up like, you know, Chamber of Commerce style. And I think I said, it's okay.
I like to imagine. Yeah. The guy who sings about cities and towns is like, he's getting paid off by the local officials to keep it positive.
No. And I think that comes through. And I think someone's got to do it before we get too deep into things. Matt, do you want to introduce yourself for our listeners and say your name if possible, because we like to splice that into our intro song.
Hey, listeners, my name is Matt Farley. I live in Massachusetts, and I write a lot of songs and make a lot of movies and go on a lot of long walks.
Awesome. And we love long walks. Long walks are kind of an extended, more laid-back form of long runs, I think.
Yeah, tell me about your, you've done marathons or what?
I've done three marathons, and Trevor does, like, less traditional kind of races, or I don't even know how you would describe them.
I do, like, trail races. Not super long ones. So I think the longest I've done is 25 miles. But my running looks a lot like long walks, for much of it.
I've done two marathons, but it was jog a mile, walk a mile, and
Nice.
I had elderly people beating me by like over an hour. In fact, both marathons I came in exactly 5 hours and 9 minutes.
Oh, nice.
A lot of the water stations were like packing up and heading out as I trotted by. But I didn't care. I was just like, because I always say like, well, I've beaten all the people who didn't run, you know?
My first marathon was closer to five, and I'm not fast. I've gotten up to my fastest now is 4:19. But it's funny, even when you get up to say 4:19, which is under a 10-minute mile, there's still people smoking you who are, you look at them and you're like, I should be faster than this person.
Good for that. I just don't like, I love going on adventures. I like bike rides too. That right when I graduated college, I rode my bicycle all the way down the East Coast, Mass to Florida. And but just running just crushes me. So it's either biking or walking. But so for walking lately, I try to do 2 15 milers per week. That's the quota I try to live up to. This winter, though, it really fell apart. It was too cold, too icy, too windy.
Outdoors tough when you're training for a race, or just trying to keep to your schedule, you know?
I can't handle treadmills. I just feel like exercise should be done outside.
That's good mileage. I mean, you're doing 2 15 milers target in a week. That's more than most people. Like, that's a respectable, quite respectable running weekly mileage even.
It's like a life balance too, 'cause like I don't want to be this like absent husband and father who's always out walking, and so it's like instead of going on say 4 8 milers per week, it's like better just if you go out just get 2 days worth of walking done in 1 day, and I usually do it at night, leave at like 6 7 o'clock, get
Oh,
back
cool.
I don't know, 3 4 hours later, listen to the Red Sox games while I'm
Nice.
walking. Definitely always like when there's, especially after dark, as I'm approaching another walker coming toward me, always go to the other, cross the street. Don't frighten some poor person,
That's true.
Especially around we're in the suburbs here. It's not like there's a steady stream of pedestrians. Like people see a pedestrian, they're like, ooh, this is terrifying.
Who's that sketchy guy
Who's
not in
that
a
sketchy
car?
guy? Not in a, yeah, I know. I was okay. I don't even know what the, how this podcast usually goes, but I'm just gonna throw this out there. I was thinking like a revolutionary idea. Once a month, we call it even odd days. Okay, and the way it works is if you live in a walkable neighborhood, if you live on an even numbered house, say and do it by do it on the like so January would be an odd day. Okay. February would be an even day, and so on. So on January, the odd day, odd residents. I'm making this up as I go. Forgive me, but odd residents go for a walk. Okay, even residents hang out outside your house, and so on that day of January of the even odd day, all the people in odd houses are out walking about and saying hello to their neighbors. And then you switch it up the in February if you're the even people go for a walk and the odd people stay home, but they're out just to like when you see in the movies where people are walking with like parasols and there's people on their front porch like say howdy, well good day to you sir. It's like I wish that was happening. Wouldn't that be a great revolution in community?
I love it. It's what they like originally designed like something like Central Park for, so that people could get out and go on those kind of walks. I support that. We'll promote that
Even odd day.
every week on this show from here on out. You said you know what the format is. We have yet to establish a format on this show, so
Okay.
after 50 something episodes, we're trying to not establish a format, so anything goes. So we'll promote that every week, right, Trevor?
Yeah.
Change the name. The name is now kind of even odd. We have like a mission now. I just like because it'd be nice to and I'm always saying hi to people like on the walking path and they're like looking down and pretending not to see me. Maybe I don't think I'm like an imposing, threatening person, but we're
You don't
not.
look it over the Zoom, yeah.
Thank you.
Sure.
But you know what I mean? It just I wish everyone was more friendly. That being said, it might lead to that like Seinfeld moment where everyone's kissing hello in the apartment, you know?
Yeah.
Oh
There's
yeah.
a balance. It's funny. I'm like I've lived in New York City, over 20 years of my life, and I'm accidentally too friendly for New York. And I'll be out there running. And there's, I run in Central Park. There's a million people running. I run over the bridges. There's a lot of people there too. I'm always smiling at people. Trevor and I met in college in Vermont, and Vermont. Oh, I usually bleep out the name of the college, so I'll do that. But I did listen to your song about it, and that one was actually pretty right on. But like in Vermont, everyone does say hello to each other and smile at everybody. I imagine it's still like that. I left over 20 years ago, but in New York, that's less common.
These tough New Yorkers, they don't have time to smile. I'm the same way. I don't go to New York much, but I'm like the, the country guy in the
Yeah.
city. I'm like, "Hi, how are you? Hey."
Exactly. Hey, neighbor. Yeah. That's what I'm accidentally like that. I forget. Yeah, and I don't think Danvers is like that, and I don't remember Marblehead really being like that.
It just there's not enough not enough people, not enough walkers,
Yeah.
and I'm very much I walk for the fun of it, but I also nothing better than walking with a mission. Like,
Oh, yeah.
okay, I got to go to the post office. I'm gonna walk there. And like life is so like boring that you have to create these side quests in your head to
Yes.
like
Yeah.
and in my I don't know about you, but in my head I have a a narrator being like, Farley put on his shoes heroically and went out into the 55 degree evening just to put a envelope in the mailbox, and it makes me feel heroic and makes me feel good, and then I come home and it's like, hey, I did something.
Have more of like a Tibetan singing bowl in the background in my head, or maybe it's more like a Brian Eno ambient album.
Hey, that works too.
I also listened to your Danvers song. I'm trying to bring as many of these songs into it as I can. I didn't keep
Oh,
notes.
thank you.
I should have, but I'm remembering a lot of it. And I think in the Danvers song, you mentioned a trail that's good for walking, right?
Yeah,
What
absolutely.
trail is that?
I don't know if I don't even know what the name is, but it's a rail trail,
Yeah.
starts in Peabody, and then
Ooh.
goes north all the way past Topsfield. So it's cool. You know the Topsfield Fair?
Oh yeah, of course.
So I can walk to the Topsfield Fair, which is nice because I mean it's like a 7 mile walk, but still it's cool because parking, it's like, yeah, I just saved $12 on parking, I
Yeah.
spent an hour and 45
I
minutes walking there, but totally worth it.
love that. There are trails like that in Marblehead, but I don't know where they go because I haven't like explored them beyond the, like you get to the town line and you're like, oh, we shouldn't go farther, boys. Like
Yeah, well, they keep going from Marblehead to, and it goes into Salem through Salem State, and they've even built more along Canal Street all the way to like it used to be Big Fred's Roast Beef.
Remember Big Fred's?
I think it's Sammy's now, but
Well, at least it's still Sammy's. That's been that for a while, yeah.
and no, okay, and tell me if I'm wrong here, but people around here, when it comes to be October, everyone's mad. Because we live near Salem
Yeah.
and there's traffic, people trying to get to Salem in October. And they're just like, I can't wait till October's over. All this traffic. And meanwhile, I'm like, guys, we live in a place where people want to be.
Yeah.
This is wonderful. And for like, you can kind of avoid the traffic. You know the side streets to get past it. I can even drive into Salem when it's most busy and find parking just because it's like, if you're not on the main couple streets, people don't realize you have other options. But
Yeah, no, and it really only affects you if you're in, let's say, Danvers and you want to go to Marblehead or vice versa. And really, you can live without each town for a month.
yeah, I mean, people in Marblehead, they're like secluded. Some people I feel like never leave Marblehead,
First of all, they're fine. They're fine in the other months, so why do they need to leave now that it's October?
Yeah, it's its own thing.
And they
But
could just go to Swampscott, so yeah.
and I don't like, is that what it's like in New Orleans? Are there people who are just like, oh no, the Mardi Gras is happening?
Well,
There's wonderful parades every day and joy and celebration, and they're mad about it.
We can open that up to our listener mailbag, and that should be an easy one to answer because my wife is from New Orleans.
Nice.
Yeah, and I'll be there. I'll be there a week next week.
And how about New Orleans versus New Orleans? You know, I go Chuck Berry style. Chuck Berry says New Orleans, and I know he's not even from there. He's from St. Louis, but
Yeah.
good enough for Chuck Berry, good enough for me.
I listened to that song too, and I liked how you acknowledge in the song that some people pronounce it New Orleans, some people pronounce it New Orleans. I'm gonna say both, which is the same.
Some people say New Orleans, some other people say New Orleans. I don't know which is right, so I'm gonna say both. Oh yeah,
I'm repeating material and I don't even
No,
realize it. That's the best part.
it's great. We addressed that, and I think my wife said, I think she talked back to that song, and I think she said, "No one says New Orleans,"
Interesting.
and
Outsiders do. Yeah.
I said, "My sister does,"
Good.
and I said, "I'm trying to stop her."
No. I mean Chuck Berry. You guys Chuck Berry fans or
Oh,
what?
huge! Yeah, I guess my
Yeah.
sister must be a huge Chuck Berry fan. Must be big in that part of Marblehead.
Now, do you know Chuck? He makes it as a musician, okay? He's on top of the world. Everyone, the Beatles love him, everyone loves him.
Yeah.
He opens up a restaurant and we'll say allegedly for all this stuff, but I think it's pretty much in the record.
We should say allegedly more on this show.
We should say allegedly the whole
Constantly. Yeah. At
episode
the
is
beginning of the episode, allegedly. Yeah.
a lot of headaches down the line, yeah.
He gets in trouble for putting cameras in the ladies' bathroom. You know? Do you know
Oh,
this story?
I didn't know
I
that.
believe
Huh.
it because I've seen an inappropriate video of Chuck Berry doing something illegal, so
Oh yeah.
that I won't
But
elaborate on.
it makes me wonder. It's like, was that the plan all along? He's
Yeah.
like, all right, I'm gonna make it as a musician,
Yeah.
get the respect, get the money, and then I can finally follow my dream,
There was a verse in the original Johnny B. Goode about that's why he got so good at guitar, and then whoever, Sam Phillips or whoever did that song was like, no, we can't put the fifth verse in. It won't sell if you say that.
Oh, it just blows my mind. But we should celebrate people's best moments, you
Yeah.
know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'll ask about New Orleans if they complain. I don't think they do because first of all, yeah, like Mardi Gras is such a big thing, but it's not
Oh.
every week there's another parade and party, and
Right.
there's another reason they
Yeah.
shut down every single street. So,
Yeah.
except in the summer when nobody comes because it's so hot.
And yeah, I get it's like don't live there. And frankly, Salem, every year, Salem, like the window of time that Salem is a tourist attraction gets bigger. It's basically like
Yeah.
May to November at this point. And I think it's great. There's people around, they're walking around, they're having a good time. The ghost tours are just hilarious. I love walking by the ghost tour where
Oh yeah.
the host is just making stuff up. It's like they're
Yeah.
not even attempting to be plausible at all. But people keep signing up for these ghost tours. I guess you go and you're just like, what do I do? And there's that people on the corner saying, come for a ghost tour.
Yeah.
Okay, one other thing. They have these little microphones in front of their mouth with like a speaker this big. All it does is garble your voice. You know, like if you had no microphone and you just spoke up, it would be so much more effective. I don't understand it.
I have a friend from high school who gives those tours. We could open the mailbag up even further and try to get some answers to the hard-hitting questions.
Yeah, this is really good. We got some follow-on missions from this one.
It's funny because yeah, I've been gone so long that like I obviously I'm back all the time because I have a family there still. So I'm back in, I don't know, Marblehead once or twice a year.
Yeah.
But it has changed a lot. Like it I sometimes long for the old Salem, like the Salem of yesteryear. So, and
Right.
most some of it's still there, but there's just so much built around it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, in the 90s, like haunted happenings was barely a thing.
Yeah.
It really exploded late 90s and into the 2000s, I'd say.
Yeah. Oh, everything that I used to like in Salem when I was young is now a marijuana dispensary.
Yeah. And Big Fred's is gone too,
Big Fred's
so
is God. Yeah. It's Big
boy.
Fred's marijuana and bong dispensary. Yeah, I think you're right though. I think there is. It was Sammy's. I think it's like a third roast beef place now with an even different name, but I might be wrong.
Trevor, I don't know if you know, but like on the North Shore, the way that Dunkin' Donuts is everywhere in New England,
Yeah.
just in the North Shore, there's these like dirty hole in the wall roast beef shops.
Oh,
That,
I'm
yeah.
aware.
Okay. Just
I'm
check.
aware. I lived for a few years in Everett and then Stoneham.
Okay.
So we had access to mics down in Everett.
Yeah.
Even growing up, we had a restaurant that modeled itself in New Hampshire after the North Shore roast beef shops. It was called Beefside, and it did the hot roast beef sandwich.
Love
I
it.
didn't even know it, but I feel like that's we talked once about the like Moxie line, like what part of the country do people even know what Moxie is a thing? And I feel like there's a little bit of overlap. It was in Bow, New Hampshire.
That might be the farthest north, like New England, North Shore style roast beef sandwich.
It might
Quite
be.
possible. Moxie is amazing because it tastes like medicine, like in a slightly bad way, but yet I still will drink it willingly.
And I feel like it's even less healthy than like Coke or something too. I feel like it's like ridiculous.
There's a
And
lot
it's,
going on in there.
yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I got another one.
right.
I'm having a blast here. Thanks
Oh,
for
good. Us
having me.
too. No,
Okay.
this is what we're here for.
What do you call their M&M style candies, but they're peanut butter? What do you call those?
Oh, I know where you're going with this. I call those Reese's Pieces.
Okay.
I think me too, yeah.
Because I grew up calling them Reese's Pieces.
Oh.
Heard that. I've heard that.
Yeah.
And I didn't
New
even know.
Orleans Reese's Pieces.
I didn't know. I was doing my own podcast with my friend, and we just talked about Reese's Pieces like normal. And then one of our listeners was like, "Why do you call them Reese's Pieces?" To the point where it blew us away. We're like, "Wait a second, why do we call it Reese's Pieces? Have you heard people saying that?"
I feel like I probably called them that growing up. That might have been one of those things I had to like unlearn when I went to college. I had like a few bad words that I would say with a New York accent because my mom was from Long Island. So I used to say compass instead of compass. And I had to like drill that into my head. The big one was to stop using the word wicked in front of like any adjective. And now that I'm older, I'm having to like reintroduce it. I'm like, wicked's a cool word. I don't need to start using
And I wonder about that too. Like when we become aware of our regional habits, and then we want to lose them, to assimilate. But then it's like, that's wrong. We should embrace it,
That's right. That's right.
I worked so hard to get wicked out of my like personal dialect and regular usage, and I used to use it all the time, and it's almost completely gone now. But it'll come out like I'll say it like maybe once a year. Maybe it's even just once every 18 months. And I'm always very actually embarrassed when I do it.
But like my parents, thick accents, my uncles, everyone, and I wonder, like, when they were like in their 30s, where they lost it, and then as they got older, they came back. I don't know, but it seems our generation was more aware of that kind of stuff and wanted to cover it up. So I'm conflicted about it. I mean, I'm sure we still all talk more like Northerners than people from any other part of the country, but it's definitely not as pronounced as it was when we were probably like 14,
I always say I just have like a general Yankee accent. But my parents still have their specific accents, like pretty thick, and they're in their 70s.
So I hope mine comes back.
Yeah, maybe there'll be a yeah, like
Back.
a revival.
I think it's just like you slowly regress. And okay, my taste in music, I feel like that goes on a curve too, where it's like you start out liking very accessible stuff, and then like you go deeper and deeper and deeper away from accessibility to the point where I was listening to Jandek. I don't know if you guys know
Oh yeah.
Jandek at
We had
all.
it we both had a Jandek phase,
Yeah, we were
And I'm
really
like,
bad back.
you got real fancy instincts. But your mouth is so
I can't listen to anything but the most like atonal madness, But then I think I'm on my way back to the middle of the road, and I'll be back to Barry Manilow by the time I'm 75.
Hopefully. You know what, one that happened to me, when I was a kid, I loved Van Halen, and then around maybe 16, I decided, Van Halen was lame, and I was probably too punk rock for Van Halen. But these days, I'm listening to Van Halen all the time. Nice.
Anima.
Yeah. Oh, I was cranking Fair Warning a couple days ago on the Spotify, and it started to play the album again, and I was like, yeah, let's do it again. Fair Warning twice.
How about the rocks in the woods? Do you have woods near your house where people would spray paint like Ozzy or
Oh
Van
yeah.
Halen or Black Sabbath on the rocks? I love that.
Yeah, there was a bridge in Marblehead people used to hang out under, and that was probably the most spray paint you'd see in Marblehead.
Yeah, and it was always like a tribute to some like scary rock and roll star. And I was like, I was the good ki I was part of the good kids who would go in the woods during the day, but then you the and you'd see evidence of the craziness that happened the night before.
Oh
And
yeah.
just teenagers in the 80s just wanted to pay tribute to Ozzy
Exactly.
Osbourne.
They were like rejected characters from The Lost Boys.
Yeah, I had it on my binder. Like, I would write the names of all my favorite bands on my school binder. You guys do that?
I definitely like had my own rendition of various logos.
Yeah.
I was just,
The Nirvana face and the
yeah.
Smashing Pumpkins heart and all that.
Yes.
I was just telling a story about my you know how people like kind of give guys crap about gatekeeping and asking like young men asking young women to name three bands by someone? But I was reminiscing that the first time I ever saw anyone do that was my 8th grade girlfriend did it to some guy
Oh,
because
nice.
it was this is like the maybe the funniest version is like the Beatles had just, you know, gotten popular again because of the anthologies on
Oh, yeah.
ABC. Remember A Beatles C? And so all of a sudden the Beatles were cool again. And she'd been like a lifelong Beatles fan, as I had. And some kid in our class wrote, I won't say his name because I don't want to embarrass him 30 years later, but he wrote The Beatles on his notebook. And she said, name three songs. And he said, Yellow Submarine. And then he couldn't think of another.
Oh,
yeah.
I do that to my wife, except it's with my own music.
Name three songs about the state of
Name three
Wyoming.
songs I wrote.
That's fair though.
The poor woman. I
I was
mean,
thinking, do you play gigs and people like call out towns? They're like, play the one about Fitchburg, and you like can't remember it.
Well, then I'll say, tell me four distinguishing features of Fitchburg. Then I make up new music and then make up the lyrics based on that information.
That works
Right.
for me.
So
Yeah.
tell us a little bit about, I mean, this is like the canned stock question, I suppose, but like, are you, where do you, where did you get the inspiration for this project or really any of these projects?
Yeah, it was it's always been my instinct to be have a creative project going. I just I've always felt I was making movies with my friends as a teenager and like forcing them to act and just chasing people down and being like, we got one more scene, we got to get out of you and blah blah blah. And it just was like I was like I just have this has to happen. We have to do this, you know. And then my parents would host a premiere in the basement where we, you know, we got like 30, 40 people to come watch the world premiere of that summer's movie.
Nice.
And it was just super fun. So basically, if I'm not in the midst of one phase, at least one phase of a project, then I feel like I'm totally you know, wasting my time and not living up to my calling in life. So that's my general that's how I feel at all times, and that applies to mostly movies and music. And then my friend Tom Scalzo and I from college, Providence College, we would have
Hill
weekend.
Friars.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we were there with Austin Crowshare and God Sham God. They made it to the Elite Eight.
Those were the days, I guess.
Someone burned a couch
I think that's when
in
we were in high school,
the
probably.
celebration. It was like
Yeah.
97, I
Yeah.
think. But we would have weekend long recording sessions where like we'd make a list of topics and it would just be random topics, and then we'd spend 2 days writing songs for each one. And we learned that if we never said no to any idea, it was the best way of doing. Instead of like writing half a song and getting frustrated and wanting to move on, we'd finish that half a song before we moved on, and we found that made it easier to do the next one somehow. And so we did that for years, and And at that point, burning a CD was difficult. Like we had
Yeah.
tapes of what we had, but thank God for technology. By 04, we were 4 years out of college. We had stacks of albums, and then suddenly, like you could put music on iTunes, and so we started putting repackaging all our old songs and putting them on iTunes to no fanfare, except some of the weirdest songs we wrote would earn a few dollars here
Oh,
and there. This is from
yeah.
people buying the MP3s. And by 07, I was like, I think if I wrote 20,000 weird songs about unusual topics, I could A, actually make enough to live off, and B, maybe get a little notoriety. And so that's what I did for the following 15 years, and here we are.
I love it. Creativity by volume, measured by volume.
And that's the thing, quantity begets quality, because you just shut off any like self
Yeah,
critical.
self-criticism.
You shut that off, and you realize, hey, it's only a song. I'm going to write another one in 5 minutes. I'll just do my best. And you'd be shocked at the titles that people come up to me talking about, songs that I thought were awful, and they think they're great. So that's great news. Like, I'm not a
Yeah.
good judge of my own work.
No, but I think you're right. I was thinking that listening to the songs about the towns and cities, and like, if you just put a bunch on or just start bouncing around for towns you want to hear about, and then you'll get to one, you're like, hey, this one rips, because
And yeah, there's a cumulative effect too, where you're listening, you're like, oh, is he going to sing the zip code? Is he going to sing the zip code? Ah, he sang the
Hey,
zip code.
Dad. It reminded me too of, have you ever listened to Van Morrison's Contractual Obligation album?
Absolutely. Yes.
It's kind of like that kind of vibe, and same thing, he hits some gems in there,
And it's to say, did you guys know me from the Joker Men podcast, or?
We that's where yeah that's where you provided your cell phone number, and I
Okay.
said, all right, I'm gonna text him because you were a great guest, and I did want to ask you one thing about that episode too, but
That's good
first, yeah,
journalism, Trevor.
go
Yeah.
ahead. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that album is a major inspiration too. Just Beach Boys' "Love You," Brian Wilson singing about Johnny Carson, and singing about, a roller skating girl and whatnot. Just like very like mundane stuff, and I love that.
It's nice to have you on the show tonight. I see.
He was able to do that to some level that is just, extraordinary, wasn't he?
Yeah, but I took the most obscure Beach Boys album and used that as the template for my entire music career.
It's funny because I always say I love later Beach Boys, but I never, I stopped before that album until preparing for this episode. I finally listened
Oh,
to it.
great. Well, it gets heartfelt on side two, and it's so pure, and it's like pure, honest Brian Wilson. I love it so much.
I really love it too. I think I found Jokerman going back through a phase of those early 70s albums and listening to the Sunflower episode. Because yeah, you know how things, I mean, if you guys listen like to music like I do, like things just sort of, there are these waves and you go really deep and then they kind of drift and then you come back to them. But anyway, so I did have a question or maybe a retelling. I don't know if this is crossing like podcasting ethical guidelines, but I thought one particular
Allegedly, it is.
allegedly ethics around this, but there was just a hilarious story, or I think it was either you or one of the guys that read an interview that Brian Wilson had done about movies. Do you know this, Dave?
No.
Okay. Well, Matt, maybe I can prompt you to sort of share the story.
Yeah, I might have actually I have it right here.
Okay,
So
excellent.
it's from a printed interview from Asbury Park Press. Okay. Question: have you seen any good movies lately? Answer: well, I've only seen one in the last couple of years. It's called Norbit by Eddie Murphy. Question: how did you like it? Answer: fantastic movie, very funny. Question: what's your favorite movie? Answer: Norbit.
Oh, that's great. Oh, Brian.
Just
That's good.
what's your favorite movie?
The only one I've seen in the
Yeah,
last several years,
that's easy. Only one comes to mind.
And
Have
I
they
don't
made
think
us
I
have they made a
knew.
sequel?
I don't think I knew Norbit prior to hearing that reference, but I feel like it's from that phase of Eddie Murphy's career where he played like five characters, like
Yeah.
Nutty Professor,
Yeah.
and like one of them was in a fat suit, and like, one of them was a female, and like it's one of those
Yeah. Well,
vehicles, right?
much like Love You is Brian Wilson Unleashed, Norbit is Eddie Murphy Unleashed, where no one was there. No one was saying no to Eddie Murphy at that point.
I
And
love it.
I worked at a group home for teens for many years, and they loved Norbit. I've seen Norbit tons of times because they had it on over and over again, and it's really nice to see it through their eyes, instead of like you read critic reviews that totally dismiss it, but then you see a whole room full of, 15, 16-year-olds just having a blast, and it's like, hey, like don't be so uppity about art.
Yeah.
Like this is just a
Yeah.
fun time.
I gotta watch it. I've never seen it. It kind of made, I remember it coming out, but it makes me think of a film I recently watched, which probably the same thing, critically panned and misunderstood, but I would say a crowd pleaser. It was just Clifford, I think it's called, the Martin Short movie, where
Oh
he
yeah, I haven't seen it, but I know it's
oh.
got a hu its reputation continues to grow.
He plays a child. There's like a very weird tone. They never really like, I don't know. It's great. It's strange. Very
Yeah,
strange.
it's bizarre and
Yeah.
wonderful, and it's great when these things take years to find their audience. It gives me hope.
Yeah, exactly. It's a little bit of hope for the Lockport, New York song.
Amen.
One of my personal favorites that I wanted to bring up, but I can't remember anything from it. So, because I
Me
listened to,
neither.
yeah, I listened to too many after it, but that's a good one. So if people at home are listening for, looking for maybe even a good running song, for like the
Oh yeah.
last 2 minutes of your run,
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's called something like, I bet you'll never find a better song about Lockport, New York.
Lockport is a good place to be. It's a nice, nice place to spend your time. It's a wonderful city. It's in the state of New York.
I have fun with the title sometimes,
That's
yeah.
a good one, and I bet it's true. I'm gonna double down on that title.
I think I have a song about the thoughts of a marathon runner. It's called The
Oh.
Marathon Runner's Inner Thoughts. And for me, it's just like, as I'm running marathon, even though I'm jogging a mile, running a mile, even the people cheering for me, I'm like giving them death stares. I'm like, I hate you. You're just sitting there. Do you know what I mean? Like that.
I've had a different experience in different marathons. So, because depending on how well trained I was, it was kind of tough. My first one in Providence was my first marathon, and I
Oh,
really
nice.
wasn't trained enough for that
What
one.
year did you do it?
2023.
Oh, okay. I did
Yeah.
it 23 years earlier.
Okay. That's, yeah, I heard that was a good one. It
Yeah.
was good that year. And then last year, I ran LA and New York.
Nice.
Yeah, I got a LA was fun, and the New York, I was trained up. I did good, so I was having a good time. In Providence, I was mad at everybody.
Also, riding my bike to Florida, every time someone passed me on the road, I would just be like, "When did you start your ride?" I started my ride 6 days ago. This is
Exactly.
all in my head, of course, but especially like I'm going uphill and like struggling on the hill, and some jerk passes me. Oh man.
I try to remind myself of that on my long runs in Central Park, which is like
Yeah.
6 miles around, and I'll see someone flying by the other way. Or,
Yes.
and then I'll be like, oh, but they're only probably running one lap. But then I see them again on my third lap, and I'm like, oh, okay. That's a good runner. It's a real good runner. All right, I'm gonna let you guys know we're getting low on time. We do this show on a timer because that's, I guess, the one format we have adhered to is we put on a timer and we stick to it. So just so everybody knows, we have 3 minutes and 12
Yeah.
seconds left.
Smart approach, because
Yeah.
conversations can linger, but this is a nice and tight 40. I like it.
Yeah, tight 40. We figured it's like a women's college basketball game, which I
I like
think is
that.
40 minutes.
Let's go with it.
Yeah, exactly. Allegedly, they're 40 minutes long. Trevor is like the relative serious journalist in this podcast. So, Trevor, are there any questions you have or topics we haven't
My
touched
only
on?
question was to talk about the Norbit quote,
Oh,
and
okay.
I just can't believe you had it so readily accessible. Like it was like at your fingertips. You're like, oh, I just got that right here.
I screenshotted it years ago to put on Twitter, and it's just still there on my desktop. Yeah.
Well, I wanted to talk about the North Shore more, which we did talk about for approximately
Yeah.
half of this show, but we mostly just talked about sandwiches.
Okay.
But
Yeah. Well,
did you
here's some.
ever,
No oh,
yeah.
go.
I was gonna say, did you ever play live music at like North Shore venues, or do you currently?
Yeah. Well, there's a place called Tapley Hall. It's in Danvers. It's part of the Danvers Historical Society. And I rented out, I've rented out like 15, 20 times to put on shows over the years.
Oh, cool.
Real nice ladies who run the place, re very reasonable fee. So there, and then the Peabody Marriott off the
Oh,
highway.
yeah, there's like a golf course there, right?
It's like on the other side of the highway is the golf course.
Okay,
It's close though. And just yeah, hotel function rooms.
Nice, that's great.
I do like I don't like dealing with bookers
Yeah.
and people that I feel I'm gonna let them down if I don't get a crowd and all that stuff. If I just rent the room and sell enough tickets to break even, I'm happy. Because frankly, I just love doing it more than anything else. And sometimes the show will even be free just because I just desperately want an audience.
I like that. Wasn't there like a club in Danvers like that people used to play 20 years ago, 25 years ago, 30 years ago, like an all ages kind of place? I'm trying to
Might have been
remember it.
before my time. I'm not sure.
Or yeah, before
But
maybe.
let me sing the praises in the North Shore. I
Okay.
think one real good thing about them is it's very walkable, you know? Yeah, even from town to town, there's sidewalks.
Yeah.
Basically, you can get anywhere. Yeah, I can easily walk from Danvers to Marblehead,
True.
sidewalks the whole way. And that's good. I do wonder what are we doing living out in the cold for so many months. Every year I question that, but I guess it makes us tough.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I've never walked from Marblehead to Danvers, but I've driven by and it's sidewalks the whole way. I used to drive to
It's
work
good.
at the North Shore Mall, which is almost in Danvers.
Yeah, because I mean, people were settling here before cars, which is a good thing.
Yeah, that's true. All right, guys, 23 seconds left. Matt, any closing thoughts or anything you want to promote?
This is a great time. Call me 603-644-0048. Nice meeting you guys.
Hey, nice
Thanks,
meeting you
Matt.
too, Matt. Thanks so
Nice meeting
much.
you. All right, bye-bye.
Later.
This is the Power Motion Picnic Hour.
Wow, thanks so much, Matt, for joining us. That was amazing. I loved every second of that talk.
Same here. Thank you again, Matt. Awesome to have you on. Appreciate your willingness to just jump in and yeah, we certainly learned a lot and had a great time.
Yeah, and that's the way I like to start a new season. Just the same way I like to start a long race, going out of the gate too fast.
Coming
And that's what
in
that felt
hot.
like.
Coming in hot.
Yeah,
Yeah.
right? Like I got a goal and then I got 26 miles to go and I come out of the gate and I'm running a minute faster than my projected pace per mile.
But no, yeah, loved his approach and just philosophy on creating. I think you and I both have some elements of that too, where we just kind of well, a lot of projects going on. And I think one thing that I took away was he was talking about, you just write the songs, you just, volume, volume, volume. And the idea of finishing a song before moving on to the next. 'Cause I'm also in the camp of like just do volume, like just get
Yeah.
it all out. But sometimes I struggle to finish things, particularly projects.
Non-song projects.
Or like album concepts or like bigger,
Yeah.
yeah, usually bigger than like a single song type projects. I get stuck somewhere along the way.
It's hard. That's tough.
Yeah, not you though. You're pretty good at following through.
I try. Yeah. I mean, I take kind of the approach that probably most people take to like a marathon, like, or like to their first marathon. Like, I'll finish even if I gotta walk. I'm gonna cross the finish line. So I try to do that.
I think my problem is I think in my mind it'll all be finished at some point, and time doesn't really matter.
Yeah, exactly. There's no rush. It's as like Dylan said, someday everything's gonna be different when I paint my masterpiece.
That's right. Yeah.
I want to tell him, like, you did it. You already painted your masterpiece, Bob.
Yeah, several times over.
I like that he's still trying. Well, he's not satisfied. He doesn't think he's painted. His standards are pretty high.
Standards are pretty high. I was listening to an old David Bowie interview recently too, and both those guys they just talk about how a lot of people kind of like become who they are and then just stay that person when they
Yeah.
reach like the age of 20, and you know, guys like, we'll call them Bob and David over there, they just never stop changing, you know.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be the same person I was 10, 20 years ago.
No. And yeah, I think about that quote from Bob, I think from the 80s, and they were asking him like where all those songs came from the 60s and all the stuff, you know, he doesn't necessarily love talking about. And he talks about how he can't do that anymore, but he goes, the part that I loved is he goes, but you know, but I can do other things.
That's right. I was almost brought this up at some point during our talk with our special guest, but recently one of the things I've been listening to a lot, because we talked about how, you know, you'll just get super into some random later Brian Wilson album. I've been super into lately, and I think I've told you about this, is Bob Dylan's Born Again Christian albums from the early 80s.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And those are pretty great. I kind of ignored those for a while. But particularly Saved and Shot of Love, I've just been spinning a lot.
Shot of Love, fantastic. I think I listened to Slow Train Coming a while back, and it didn't hit at the time, and so I just kind of shelved it, but you know, I certainly had been doing a lot sort of like around that period, you know, with like Street Legal and then flipping ahead to like the Empire Burlesque and like Infidel stuff. But I agree. You prompted me to go deeper on Shot of Love, and I'm certainly glad I did.
It's so good. No, I was the same as you. I'd listen to Street Legal and then I'd listen to Slow Train at some point, and I didn't love it, so I just skipped to Infidels.
Yeah. Yeah,
exactly. But I think Slow Train, even though it won like a Grammy, I think that's like the weak link of the three Christian albums.
Yeah, yeah. Give me a little Property of Jesus any day.
Oh, that's the best. That's the hit. So should we talk about running? We didn't talk about running too much in this episode.
We you know, we danced around it. I'd say I was I think what Matt calls walking is something I often call running. And I liked, you know, he's done multiple marathons.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. And I remember, you know, we've been exploring, you've been encouraging me to look into a marathon at some point, and we were looking at it, one in particular, and I noticed the 7-hour cutoff time, and I was like, okay, that's pretty some room for a little bit of,
that's pretty forgiving. Yeah.
You know, dirt nap at mile. Like,
yeah,
I need it.
The power hiker approach to the road running marathon.
That's right. Yeah.
I think they usually give you at least 6. So, and 7 is pretty, like I said, pretty forgiving. But I think most marathons, even the ones that like, they're like, listen, we can't shut down the streets. Like, this is, you know, most marathons don't shut down the streets for that long.
Yeah.
So like they can't do what New York and Boston do. But they say you have 6 hours. Even that is pretty achievable, I think.
Yeah. No, I think so. I like to think I could run a sub-6-hour marathon off the couch.
I think you could easily. Yeah. I think with no training, I think you could do a 5.
I think I could. So anyway, do we want to talk about running beyond that? I'll leave it up to you. I think you probably have a little bit more running to talk about than I do.
I've been doing a lot of running, but nothing different than I'm sure everybody remembers exactly where we left off 3 months ago, before we took our unplanned siesta in between season 4 and season 5. But yeah, I've been running a lot. I haven't run any marathon since the New York Marathon, but I did this past Sunday run a New York Roadrunners race. In the rain, and I wore my new pair of Nike Pegasus Trail 5 GTX Gore-Tex shoes, and that was kind of great. I never ran in Gore-Tex shoes before, or trail shoes before.
You'll like those a lot in the winter too. Maybe it'll get you doing some more outside running in the winter, because nice with a little you know, little snow pack, little hard pack.
I'm gonna take them out. I'm gonna get weird with those shoes.
They've got the, is it, do they have the Vibram soles?
I don't know. I don't know what's good. They looked pretty nice and they did a good job. I did one treadmill run to test them, and then I took them out in the rain. for four, and it felt good. I wasn't trying to run fast or anything. I was taking it easy. I was running with female gearshed testing correspondent. It was pretty fun. I have another race this Sunday for New York Roadrunners, the Retro 4 Miler.
Oh, that's a fun one, right?
I love that one because people tell me they like my costume, and I'm like, this is how I dress every single day. This is just,
The race where you
yeah.
you feel more at home.
The Dress Like Dave 4 Miler. Everyone, yeah, well, they put on their tiny shorts. I've already got them. So, and I got my terry cloth headband, which running stores don't sell terry cloth headbands. Runners don't want terry cloth.
Yeah, there's a lot of new materials.
Everybody used to wear terry cloth.
I know. That used to be it, right?
It's pretty much just tennis players now. Because even basketball players don't wear it as much as they used to.
That's right. I wonder why. That seems odd.
They want moisture wicking. When you run a long distance and you sweat a lot in a terry cloth headband, by the end it is pretty soaked. But if you're not sweating a lot, like,
Heavy.
yeah, it gets heavy. And but if you're running in like ideal conditions, there's no problem. And then I would say, honestly, the move would be just to change to a new headband halfway through a marathon. Like, get someone who's crewing you, if that's legal, or maybe like at the water station, someone could hand you a fresh one.
So I did think you had asked you had accused me of allegedly being prepared for an interview.
Yes. You said some one thing over a text that led me to the
Look,
impression that you were very well prepared for this.
and I said, well, oh no, I my only topic was the Brian Wilson Norbit quote, but which I am very glad we got to. But I did forget. I was going to ask, and Matt, who's such an open, friendly guy, literally
Yeah.
is that's his real number. Whoever wants to chat, walking, running, North Shore, roast beef,
Yeah.
music, send him a I recommend it. Send him a note. Send
Yep.
him give him a call. But
Great person to talk to.
I meant to ask, and maybe we can circle back to him. I thought it could be a fun journey for season five because, well, let me take a pause. A little behind the scenes of the Power Motion Picnic Hour. Getting special guests is not as easy as it once was. Because I feel like we used to have a pretty good outreach sort of template and style, not like sending the same message, but as in like you sort of send somebody a direct message on Instagram and they respond. And I just have started to get the sense that our messages are like they're just being filtered out and there's just more scrutiny in that particular communication
Yeah, possibly.
system. So that's where it's cool to, find Matt's on this other podcast and text, or you've been doing some emailing. But in any case, I thought another interesting place that we could maybe try to source some special guests is through a sort of special guest referral program. And we
Okay.
ask people like Matt, great special guests, like, hey, who else should we have on? So that was
I
one
like
idea. And
Okay, I like it.
then maybe like sort of secondary to that, possibly related, would be we should have like a goal special guest for
For each season?
for season five.
I love
Like
it.
we need to network our way to Dave Rawlings.
Okay, so is that
Or
it, or are we gonna
no, it's open. I mean, I thought initially I thought Dave Longstreth of the Dirty Projectors, because
Oh.
he travels in similar circles as the Joker Man, and we could probably get there pretty easily through Matt.
I could probably find him. He lives in New York, doesn't he?
He lives in LA now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's the thing. You go Will Sheff style and you move to LA.
You moved to LA.
Yeah.
So anyway, we don't need to decide the sort of target special guest right now, but that was
Okay.
the idea, is like maybe we plant a stake in the ground and say, let's get, our goal this season is to get this special guest.
Okay, this is episode one. Well, let's open it up to our listeners, ask them to respond to the mailbag, and by the end of episode three, we're going to announce this season's goal special guest. And it's a collaborative community process of deciding where we get full veto of everyone's vote, but we do welcome the input. We would like suggestions, and we'll work hard to get that guest, because if we set out a goal and then we fail, we'll be very disappointed.
Yeah, and I think it could end up being this interesting sort of self-fulfilling journey. That's the idea anyway.
Maybe season 5 doesn't end until we get them, and so this might be a 100-episode season.
It could be.
Yeah.
We might have just opened up something, but
no matter how long it takes, season 5 will continue.
Yeah, we will find that guest. We will network our way through referrals and otherwise until we get that guest.
Well, that's exciting. That's thrilling. I think that's a good place to leave it for this season premiere of season 5, possibly the longest and possibly the shortest season of the Power Motion Picnic Hour ever. We just don't know, but
life is unpredictable.
As we
like to say.
I'm excited to find out. And as we also like to say, until next time,
onward.
Special guest,
Norbit.
This is the Power Motion.